Okay, let's all look to the Lord and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity you have given to us to listen to your word. Forgive us, O Lord, for some of us don't even seek your face to speak to us. But still we know that you are the gracious God. Even though we don't seek you, you show up. You seek us. You knock the door of our hearts. You shake us. You awaken us. And that's the beauty of your grace, O Lord. And we pray this morning that you please do send the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Open the eyes of our heart to behold the wonders of your word. Oh, let the Spirit of God take every word and penetrate our hearts. And let this message bring transformation in our lives, O Lord. May we not listen with a cold heart. May we not listen with a casual heart, being distracted by other household activities or by other things. But may we pay attention, because your word says, those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Awaken us. Teach us the significance of the gospel in our everyday Christian living. In the name of our beloved Savior who loved us and laid his life for us on the cross and rose on the third day, we offer this prayer with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 Well, the title of the message that I have given for this Sunday, and I will be preaching consecutively for 3 Sundays just on this topic, expanding, expounding deeply, how important is gospel for our everyday Christian living. The gospel for everyday Christian living. And today is just the introduction, okay? Only sharing with you the importance of it, and then I will be sharing with you the application of how gospel is relevant to us. You know, I am reminded of what Milton Vincent said. I know that maybe all of you are hearing this name for the first time, but he is known to a couple of solid reform guys, and he wrote a short, beautiful book, A Gospel Primer for Christians, Learning to See the Glories of God's Love. And in that short book, which is endorsed by Jerry Bridges and a couple of solid Bible teachers, and there is a phrase which is so significant and many Christians fail to understand. And you know what is that? Preach the gospel to yourself every day. And he's not telling preach the gospel to unbelievers every day, which is really important. We need to preach the gospel to unbelievers. He's not speaking about preaching the gospel to unbelievers, which is important anyways. He's talking about preaching the gospel to yourself. To yourself, O Christian, preach this gospel to yourself, because you need the gospel every day. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, one of the things that I do in my everyday Christian life is I get up and do some things, and then I go into the park, which is next to my house, and I do prayer walk. And when I do prayer walk, one of the things that I preach to myself and remind myself is this: the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can say with assurance that not a single day passes by in my Christian life without preaching the gospel to myself, to my own soul. But before I go further and explain about the significance of the gospel that is needed for a Christian, I would like to first explain, because there may be people who do not yet know the gospel. So it is important to understand, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? And then I will explain about the significance of it. And if I ask you a question, hey brother, sister, where do you find in the Holy Scripture the heart of the gospel? Where do you find in the Holy Scripture the heart of the gospel? I would immediately turn your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 4. And this is what Paul writes to the church in Corinth for us also, which explains briefly what is the gospel. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. People, this is a life-giving statement that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. This is the gospel, people. There is no mysterious thing about the gospel. That is, you can't understand this. It is beyond your mind. Only the super spiritual, highly academic people can understand this. No, that's not. Gospel is very simple. Even a kid can understand. Even a scholar can understand. Any person can understand what the gospel is. It is very simple. And what it is? Christ died for our sins. And he was raised on the third day. He didn't die for our health. He didn't die for our material prosperity. He didn't die to give us good self-esteem. The Bible declares that he died for our sins. Why did he die for our sins? Because this sin has separated us from God and made us eternally condemned. And we are saved by his death and resurrection. Oh, what a glorious gospel is this. Praise be to God for this wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus, that he died for our sins and rose on the third day. And we have to reflect on this glorious gospel every day and preach this gospel to ourselves every day. I would like to ask you this question. How many of you preach the gospel to your soul every day? If not, begin it from today. And you would see the effect, the power of it. Now, this is what Jerry Bridges said this, which I think is the common misunderstanding, dilemma, problem in Christianity today. And this is what Jerry Bridges says. We tend to give an unbeliever just enough of the gospel to get him or her to pray a prayer to receive Christ. Then we immediately put the gospel on the shelf, so to speak, and go on to the duties of discipleship. As a result, Christians are not interested in instructed in the gospel. And because they do not fully understand the riches and glory of the gospel, they cannot preach it to themselves, nor live by it in their daily lives. What Jerry Bridges is saying here is that we just preach the gospel to unbelievers and they receive Christ and we receive Christ and we put the gospel on the shelf and we think about deeper things, highly spiritual things in discipleship. And we think that gospel is only the basic. Discipleship is deeper actually. And in this way, Christians don't preach the gospel to themselves. Christians don't reflect on the gospel. They only use it for evangelism. Now listen carefully. Many Christians use the gospel for evangelism, but not for personal spiritual nourishment. The gospel is not just for evangelism. The gospel is also, most importantly, for personal spiritual nourishment. Now, as I was reflecting on the significance of the gospel, and this is what I would like to say. To say the gospel of Christ is for unbelievers and not for believers is like saying breathing air is for unbelievers and not for believers. How funny it is, right? Oh, you breathe air? Oh, you breathe air because you are an unbeliever. Now, believers don't need to breathe air. Everyone needs air. Whether you are an unbeliever or a believer, you cannot live without breathing air. Now listen to this, my dear church. Whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, you cannot live without the gospel. You cannot live without the gospel. The gospel is for both believers and unbelievers. Now as you keep on listening to the gospel constantly, I'm telling you people, honestly, I never feel bored about the gospel. I get excited when I hear that little statement, Christ died for my sins. Oh, it brings life unto me. No person can say, I feel bored breathing air every day. Oh, what is it? Since the time I was born until now, I'm breathing air every day. Oh, I'm bored of it. I don't want to breathe anymore. Do you find anyone saying that? No one will say that. Because breathing is life. You cannot live without that. No one says, I'm bored. He lives by breathing air. No Christian can say, I feel bored reflecting on the gospel every day. Why? Because a Christian lives by breathing the gospel every day. You live by breathing the gospel every day. And if you are not breathing, you are suffocating. Now listen to this carefully, my dear brothers and sisters. One of the reasons why your Christian life is suffocating, because there are having, a lot of people are suffocating spiritually. They are unable to breathe normally. You know why? Because they are not breathing the gospel. They are breathing something else, which is not good for your spiritual lungs. You need the gospel every day as you need air every day. You know, people, so great is the gospel, so beautiful is the gospel, that even in heaven, angels, elders, believers, you know what they will be singing? They will be singing the gospel. And that's what we see in Revelation 5, 9 to 10. And when I see Revelation 5, 9 to 10, you know whom do I find? I find Steve and David there. Because I am also a part of that every tribe, language, people and nation. And I believe you also will be there. If you have repented of your sins and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will also be singing this gospel. And what are they singing? What is it that we will be singing in the future? Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. We all will reign on the earth. All believers will reign on the earth. We will inherit the earth, and we will reign over the earth, people. Why? Because of the gospel. Because of what Christ has done. He was slain. He shed his blood. His body was plowed. He died in agony. He suffered brutally. Why? To ransom people for God. And I can say proudly, I am a ransom for God. I am redeemed by the blood for God. And so are you, if you are a believer. And if you are not, trust in the Lord Jesus so that you can be among these people and reign the earth. Oh, what a joy it is that we will be singing the gospel. If this is what we will be singing in heaven, people, is this not we should rehearse even over here on earth? You need to be rehearsing. Preach the gospel to yourself. And what a great privilege it is. Now, I would like to share with you three scriptures in order for you to understand how significant is gospel for a Christian. And then in the following two messages, I will be sharing with you how to apply practically gospel every day. It's not just a theory, it's a practice. How do you practice that every day? I will be sharing in the next two sermons. But let me share with you these three scriptures to help you understand how the gospel is significant to a believer. Now listen carefully. This is not written to any unbeliever. This is written to believers in the church in Corinth, and this is also written for you and me to listen today. Now listen what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 2. And this is what it says. Now observe the phrases very clearly. Don't get distracted. Focus on this passage. And when I'm reading this, I would encourage you, and I think it is good to also read wherever you are with me, and the scripture is plain before you. Let's read together. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now people, this is so important. If you need to understand the significance of the gospel. Now see here, Paul says that I preach the gospel to you. To whom? To these people. And what did they do? They received the gospel. Just like you and me. Received the gospel. Now what happened later? Now this is where the problem lies in present day Christianity. This is what they don't understand. You know what? In which you stand. Paul says that you are standing on the gospel now. Not just in the past. You received in the past. And now you are standing on the gospel. And you see what he says. And by which, by gospel, you are being saved. Present, continuous tense. And you see what he says. If you hold fast to the word. You know hold fast means? Hold fast to the gospel I preach to you. Cling to it. Stand on it. You are living by it. That's what Paul is saying to the church here. Now those words are very powerful, people. In which you stand. By which you are being saved. It's in grammar, it is a present tense. It's an ongoing activity that Paul is explaining to the church. People, your Christian life hinges on the gospel. You need to stand on the gospel because you are continually being saved by the gospel. Now, this is what many people don't understand this. And I want to clarify you how the gospel saved you, how the gospel saves you, and how the gospel will save you. And this language is clearly found in the New Testament. And let me help you understand this. Ephesians, for example, we see in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5, which speaks about the gospel saved you, which speaks about the past tense. Now see the grammar here. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. It is over. The word saved is in the past tense. The gospel saved you. Your salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the end. The Bible doesn't speak about the gospel just in the past tense. The Bible also speaks about the gospel in the present continuous tense. The gospel still saves you now. And that's what we see. I'm showing only one scripture. I can show to you other scriptures. But because of time constraint, I'm only showing you one scripture. And you see that just now I have read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 2. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. Present, continuous tense. And by which you are being saved. Present, continuous tense. People, every day you are battling against your flesh. Every day you are battling against the assaults of the devil. Every day you are battling against the allurements of the world. What saves you? What saves you from the assaults of the enemy? What saves you from your inner sinful passions? What saves you from the enticements of the world? The gospel saves you. If you don't hold fast to the gospel, be careful. You need the gospel. And the gospel not only saved you, but saves you. The Bible also says that it will save you in the future. The gospel will save you in the future. When on the last day, when the judgment happens, when the wrath of God is poured out upon the whole world, you and I will take shelter under the gospel, under the blood, under the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our only refuge. Romans chapter 5 verse 9 to 10. Listen to what our dear apostle says to the church, which is the word of God. Romans 5, 9 to 10. Listen carefully, those who have ears. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, made righteous by the blood of Christ. Now see what he says. He uses in the future tense, much more shall we be saved. It is in the future tense. We shall be saved in the future by Christ. From what? From the wrath of God. If you read 1 Thessalonians and if you read Colossians, it says that the wrath of God is coming upon the whole world because of sin, and people will face the terrible day. But you and I, believers, we don't have to face the terrible day the wrath of God. Why? Much more will be saved by Christ, by the gospel, by the blood, by the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That future destruction is safe for us because of the gospel. The gospel will save you. On that day, Jesus may remind the Father, "Father, Stephen David is my son, whom I bought by the blood. Let your wrath not come upon him." Same thing, he may take every person's name and say, "The wrath will not come upon you because you are my blood-bought children." For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Do you see, people have shown you three scriptures: how the gospel saved you, how the gospel saves you, and how the gospel will save you in the future. I love what Tim Keller says here. Tim Keller, a pastor in US, the church, and this is what he says. You know what he says? He says here that the gospel is not simply the ABCs of Christianity. That's what many people think. The gospel is just ABCD. And then theology, doctrines, deeper truths you have to learn. But Tim Keller says that the gospel is not simply the ABCs of Christianity, but A through Z. It is the Alpha and Omega. It is everything about Christianity. It is not basic. It is basic. It is deeper. No matter whatever words you want to add, it is everything. You need the gospel because gospel is everything. Now, this is how I put for you to understand. The whole Bible is gospel-centric, people. The whole Bible is gospel-centric. The Old Testament testifies preparation to the gospel. The whole Old Testament speaks about how God prepared people to the cross. Why he gave the law to lead people to the cross. Why he chose Israel through them to bring Messiah and bring salvation to the world. The whole Old Testament testifies preparation to the gospel. The gospels, the first four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the gospels testify the finished work of Christ on the cross. And the rest of the New Testament, the letters, what are they? They all testify to the impact of the gospel for eternity. The whole Bible is cross-centered, Jesus-centered, cross-centered. It is not you and me. It is the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean, people? You cannot keep aside the gospel and grow in Christian life. There is no way you can grow in your Christian life by keeping aside the gospel. Your whole Christian growth is dependent on the gospel. Your entire Christian life is dependent on the gospel. Therefore, hold on to the gospel. Stand on the gospel. Keep being saved by the gospel. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. Meditate on the gospel. No matter what your situation is, I will share with you later how you can apply the gospel. Reflect on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever lose focus of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forsake the gospel. Have you ever seen Paul very angry? Very, very angry. You generally don't see Paul like that. He's a man who is always tender. But most of the letters are very wonderful, actually. And if there is one letter where you can see the anger of Paul, the sadness of Paul, you know what is that letter? It is Galatians. It is one letter he doesn't begin the way he began the other letters. The very first words that he uses is this: "You know what? I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him, Christ, who called you in the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel." How upset Paul was, how angry Paul was, that you are forsaking the gospel. You are not holding fast to the gospel. And he wrote the entire Galatians, and most of the Galatians is nothing but the gospel calling believers in the church at Galatia. And he didn't write to one church, people. Galatia is a region like Telangana. There were many churches, and he didn't use a single word church. He said churches of Galatia. So many churches were impacted by the false teachings. And they were deserting the crucified Christ. They were turning to a different gospel. Today also we see a different Christ is presented in the world today. A different gospel is presented in the world today. The unadulterated, pure, biblical, uncompromised gospel is not found. Look into the preachings today. Where is Christ and Him crucified? Look into the testimonies today. Where is Christ and Him crucified? Look into the television today. Where is Christ and Him crucified? Look at the songs today. Where is Christ and Him crucified? Look at the books today. The books. So many books today. Where is Christ and Him crucified? Look at the counseling today. Where is Christ and Him crucified? Oh, so many people, so many churches, so many pastors, so many preachers, so many authors have deserted the gospel and turned to a different gospel today. Oh, we need to get back to that old apostolic, unadulterated, pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's our life. That's our life. I would like to show to you another scripture which speaks about the importance of the gospel, not just 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 to 2 that I have shared, but also this was written to believers in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. Now listen what he says here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. Let's all read together, wherever you are, raise up your voice people, let us shout and read this gospel, so much life unto us, energy unto us, and we also thank God constantly for this. That when you receive the word of God, what is it that they receive the word of God? The gospel. Now you see, which you heard from us, what is it that they heard from Paul and the others? The gospel. You accepted it. What is it that these people have accepted? The gospel. Not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. You have accepted the gospel not as the word of men, not as the philosophy of men, not as the opinion of men, not as the teaching of men, but as the very word of God. And that's what it is. We didn't create it to be the word of God. It is the word of God. As it really is. Now what happened after all this? Now see the final phrase, people, which is so, so important for our consideration. He says here, which is at work in you believers. It's not about unbelievers he is talking about. What is which? The gospel which you received from us, which you accepted us. That gospel is, what is it? What is the gospel doing, people? It is at work in you now. It is not just a thing of the past, or not just a thing that will be in the future. It is a thing of the present too, now, which is at work in you. Believers, the gospel is working in you. The gospel is saving you. The gospel is preserving you. The gospel is guarding you. The gospel is reviving you. Wow. Praise God for this gospel. You know, one of the wonderful Bible teachers from Dallas, he passed away long ago, and J. Hampton Keithley, this is what he said. He speaks about the work. You know, when Paul used the word, which is at work in you, in Greek, is energio. It is from this Greek word energio that we get the English word energy or energize. That's what exactly is he saying here. What is he saying here? He's saying here that this gospel is energizing you, which is at work in you. And it means that it is working efficiently and productively. And that's what we see even in the parable of the sower, how in the good soil, how the gospel makes fruitful Christian. And he says here that it is in the present continuous tense of what is consistently true as a principle of life. The gospel is energizing believers. Now, if you and I know our hearts carefully, people, we all know we are weak. We are still toddling. We are struggling. We are being shaken every day. We are haunted. We are bombarded with so many problems, tensions, temptations. But you know what is the only hope? What is the only hope? The only hope is that the gospel is our only hope. It is working in us. It is energizing us. It is working continuously in us. So people, this is why I'm telling you that gospel is so important for you as a believer, for me as a pastor and a believer. No one can say that I don't need the gospel anymore. You know what many people see gospel as? They see it just as a doctrine. They see it as a mere belief system. But I want to clarify to you that gospel is not a mere belief system. It is our life by which we live our everyday Christian life. People, it is not just a mere belief, mere opinion, mere knowledge. It is life. It is life by which we live our Christian life every day. The gospel is not the status switch, but the engine by which the entire Christian life functions. You know that if you have a car or drive a bike, what do? You just switch on the button. And then what do? That's it. And then your bike goes, and how it runs? It runs by engine. And many people see gospel only as a status switch. Only when you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and born again. Oh, I'm a sinner. Christ died for my sins. That's it. They see it as a starter switch. But people, it is the engine by which the entire Christian life functions. Without it, there is no Christian life. Without the gospel, there is no Christianity. The gospel is our life. You know, recently I have begun reading a book. It's a very short book. If possible, I encourage you to read that very, very encouraging book. That book was lying in my shelf for a long time and I haven't read it. But somehow I was led, I believe, by the Spirit of God to read this book. And that book is The Gospel-Centered Discipleship, written by Jonathan Dodson. The Gospel-Centered Discipleship. I have the hard copy. If you want to borrow from me and read, you can do that. Or it is also available on Kindle. Very, very encouraging book, people. And in that book, I have read this, which is very encouraging. Please listen to the words that he wrote in this book. Beautiful. And this is what Jonathan K. Dodson says. A disciple of Jesus is someone who learns the gospel, relates in the gospel, and communicates the gospel. The gospel is for undergraduates, that is, few new people who come to the Lord, and graduates, mature people. Because nobody ever graduates from the gospel. No one says that, oh, I had gospel enough, so I'm graduating from the school of the gospel. No, gospel is a school from which you never graduate. And he goes further, every follower of Jesus needs to know and be reminded that the gospel makes disciples is the very same gospel that matures disciples. Listen carefully. The gospel that makes disciples is the very same gospel that matures disciples. You cannot become mature without the gospel. And I've seen that very clearly in my life. In fact, I cannot pastor without the gospel. I need to apply the gospel to pastor the church. Even before I die, my only hope to die with a smile on my face is the gospel. And Jonathan says here, we are born in grace and we breathe by grace, all bought by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are born in grace. We breathe grace, people. We breathe the gospel. And everything happened because the Lamb of God was shed on the cross. Died on the cross. Died on the cross. So what do we learn from here? That Christian maturity is not going beyond the gospel. Christian maturity is growing deeper within the gospel. Shall we all repeat this together? From wherever you are, lift up your voices and say this together. Christian maturity is not going beyond the gospel. Christian maturity is growing deeper within the gospel. Growing within the gospel. You will never surpass gospel and grow anywhere. We need it every day. And finally, I would like to show the final scripture and then I will close. And this I have discovered actually recently. I never read it. I have read Book of Romans for more than 20 years. It is only recently that I have come across, and I was shocked actually to observe this, and I started to give more attention to this and meditated on that. Beautiful. In relation to my message, you see what Paul writes. If you read the beginning verses, he says, I'm writing to the saints. Okay, saints of God. And that's what he says in Romans chapter 1 at the beginning verses. But look at what he says in 15 to 16. Okay, observe this very carefully, my dear brothers and sisters. And please repeat with me. Jesus said, those who have ears, let them hear. And I say, those who have mouths, let them speak. Romans 1, 15 to 16. Let's read together. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It is the power of God for everyone who believes. And you know what is interesting, people, when I read this and what caught my attention, which I have never observed in more than 20 years of my Christian life, I just got stuck there when I read this. I am eager to preach the gospel to you, believers. And don't we find this to be true? Read first chapter of Romans, second chapter of Romans, third chapter of Romans, fourth chapter of Romans, fifth chapter of Romans, sixth chapter of Romans, seventh chapter of Romans, eighth chapter of Romans. What do you find? What do you find? Paul is writing to these believers. Gospel. And the rest of the chapters speaks about how the gospel impacts every aspect of Christian life. And he says here that, I am eager to preach the gospel to you, believers. I think if you and I were there, or if Paul says the same words today, maybe Ecclesia might be saying, hey Paul, what are you talking about? We are Christians. We are believers. We are already people who believed in the gospel. Why are you treating us as unbelievers? If you really want to preach the gospel, I will take you to slums. I will take you to old city where people don't know the gospel. I will take you to the unreached villages where you can preach the gospel. We are believers. We don't need the gospel anymore. We know the gospel already. This is how the church reacts today. But Paul says that, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also, believers who are in Rome. You know, as I was studying on this, I love what John Piper says. Now listen carefully, follow carefully the description of John Piper here. He says here that, we don't usually think about preaching the gospel to believers, isn't it? That's absolutely true. We do not think about preaching the gospel to believers. I'll be offended, right? Generally, if anyone says that, if Gotham comes and says that, Stephen and I want to preach the gospel to you, it's an offense to me, right? Or if I tell to George, George, I want to preach the gospel to you, he may be offended. Today, we see gospel as something as it's only a product for the unbelievers, not for believers. We should be excited if someone wants to preach the gospel, because we can once again be reminded of the glorious truths of the gospel. And that's what John Piper says. We don't usually think about preaching the gospel to believers. We preach the gospel to unbelievers. Now you see what he says. The gospel of grace is what we preach to unbelievers, and the gospel of grace is what we preach to believers. The same gospel that saves unbelievers is the same gospel that keeps saving the believers. Listen carefully what I'm saying. This is not what Piper says here. The gospel that saves unbelievers is the same gospel that keeps saving the believers. The gospel that justifies unbelievers sanctifies believers. And Piper goes on saying, that is what Paul says. What does he say to the believers in Rome? I am eager to preach the gospel to you. You believers, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And then he continues saying, not to get them saved. They were saved. But to keep them saved through sanctification. Justification is not the end. There is sanctification. What is sanctification? Growing in the likeness of Christ. Now listen to this carefully, people. Listen carefully what I'm saying. This is not Piper says in this statement, but it just popped up in my mind. I want to tell you. Please listen to this. When you are an unbeliever, you need the gospel to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. When you are an unbeliever, you need the gospel to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. When you are a believer, you need the gospel to grow in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a believer, you need the gospel to become Christ-like. And that's what I would be sharing with you in the next two sermons. How practically you need to gospel, you need the gospel in order to become like Christ. And that's what the Bible teaches. And Piper continues to say here, our faith begins with the gospel of grace, and our Christian lives are sustained by the same good news of grace over and over again. This gospel of grace is to be preached to believer and unbeliever alike, because faith in free grace saves and faith in free grace sanctifies. Wow. We have looked at three scriptures from 1 Corinthians, from 1 Thessalonians, and from Romans. All speak about how gospel is essential to us. And this is a conclusion that I would like to make, my dear brothers and sisters. Let's read together. All of us, let's read together. The gospel is not only for unbelievers, it is for believers too. You cannot live your Christian life every day without the gospel. If you are failing to live your Christian life effectively, it is because you are failing to preach the gospel to yourself consistently. Let me repeat that once again. If you are failing to live your Christian life effectively, it is because you are failing to preach the gospel to yourself consistently. You, I, anyone, be it Billy Graham, John MacArthur, John Piper, or Stephen David, Shankar, George, Allen, anyone, all of us need the gospel. We cannot live a single day without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray, my dear brothers and sisters, that the eyes of our heart would be open to understand how glorious, magnificent, awesome, splendorous, beyond description is the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and that we need to apply this gospel every day in our Christian life. And in the next sermon, part 2, and also in part 3, I will share practically how to apply the gospel every day to a Christian life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, which we call the Lord's Day. Because this is a day that you have been raised from the dead when you were crucified. And this is the day the church gathers as a redeemed community, as a blood-bought assembly of the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to listen to your word, in order to sing songs and worship you, in order to pray together, in order to fellowship together, because that's what the gospel produces in the church. And pray for those brothers and sisters who missed today, or anywhere in any church, help them to understand the significance of the body of Christ. And as we have listened to the word today, Spirit of God, open the eyes of our heart to behold the cross every day. And that's what the song says, the cross before me, the world behind me. But I'm sorry to say, we sing that, but every day we put the world before us and the cross behind us. We don't put the gospel before us. And A.W. Tozer was right a lot in saying that so many Christians sing lies, but when they live their lives from Monday to Saturday, it's very different. But we don't want to be such Christians, O Heavenly Father. We want to be gospel-centered, Christ-centered Christians. We want Ecclesia to be gospel-centered church. And we thank you for teaching us so much of important, significant things about the gospel which we had not known before. All by your grace, all by the work of the Holy Spirit. Pray that you continue to speak to our hearts. May we take this message, reflect on that, and preach the gospel to ourselves every day, knowing that we live by it, we are saved by it, and in the future, we will be glorified by it. And once again, Heavenly Father, we fall at your feet and we thank you for the Lamb that was slain for our sins on the cross 2,000 years ago. Oh, we thank you for the blood he shed, for the body he offered, for the pain he endured. It was so painful that before he went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me." But he drank that cup, O Lord, for us, for Stephen David, for Ecclesia. He drank that painful cup, the wrath of God, to pay the price for our sins. Oh, may we never think that. May we not take this for granted, O Lord. But may we see the glory of it every day. And enjoy living in the gospel. Stand in the gospel. Hold fast to the gospel. Breathe the gospel. And our Christian life will be different, O Lord. Very, very significantly different. May we never, ever lose the sight of the cross on which our Lord Jesus died for us and then rose from the dead. In Jesus' name, we offer this prayer with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message. We believe you have been greatly encouraged in your heart. Stephen David also writes articles that are relevant to today's generation. You may read them on his blog, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. I repeat, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. You may also email him at cstephendavid@gmail.com. I repeat, cstephendavid@gmail.com. Grace and peace be to you.